Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise, but our quiet don't seem able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee ye! Hee ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
Hello, everybody. Whenever you get tired of crying and life seems to get you down, you get this thing in your mind, at least I do, I don't know about each of you, but I go out into the world and start searching up good things. One of the things that I can tell you for sure, though, if you want to go out there and find good things, YouTube's probably not the best place to find it. I typed in, this is the exact phrase I typed in, good things in the world today. And then I saw this very first video that said 25 things happening in the world today that people don't know about. And so I click on this video, and I'm expecting to see good things, because that's what I typed in. I typed in good things. Well, it starts telling me all the doggone things that's going on in the world. Pretty much every single thing kept steadily getting worse and worse by the minute. I'm like, my God. I'm trying to find out what good is going on in this world, what kind of good things is happening, because this world can't be all that bad. And so the second video in line down there, it said the good things happening in the world today. And basically, whenever I started listening and in this video, it started talking about how, you know, the oil industry here in the United States was making great strides, and they were getting more oil, and gas prices were going to go down, and the economy, the big corporations and all that were making lots of money, and then they were actually putting some eggs in your basket and helping you with you know, your 401ks and stuff like that. So I spotted a propaganda video right out of the gate with that one. But moving right along, the harder I tried to find good things in this world, the more that YouTube told me how bad things were. Even things, the Bible prophecies happening in the world, you know, floods, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence. What's good about all that? I mean, to some extent, I guess maybe it would be good if you knew your creator, your savior, or whatever was on the way, and there was going to be this big change in the world, and it's going to be all wonderful, you know, and peace and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it just wasn't what I was actually looking for this morning. And so, you know, I just kept on scrolling on down, and I kept trying to find something good, and I'm finding whales beached on the shoreline and all kinds of terrible things, even a bug somewhere in a place where I can't even pronounce, you know, basically embedded itself in somebody's skin. I'm like, this is getting worse by the second. And so I moved over to Faith in Humanity, and I said, these exact words I put in, there is good in the world. That's what I typed in. And I started finding videos about real life heroes, restoring faith in humanity, you know, all kinds of different people that went out of their way to, you know, help somebody across the street, or get out and save an animal that was out in the middle of traffic, or, you know, really wonderful things. Things that when they put this really nice music in the background, it warms your heart and brings tears to your eyes, because you got this newfound faith in humanity. And so I'm desperately reaching out into the world, trying to find anything that's good, so that I could bring it here to share with everybody here on the Knights of the Round Table. By the way, you are listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazazradio.com. I need to shorten that up somehow, because it's like hard to keep your breath while you're saying it. But anyway, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, as well as, while you're on that super chat, if you want to see yet even more wonderful people, click on the People for People Radio Network. See, there's some good things there. There's some good people over there. And don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio and all the other affiliated networks involved. You can scroll all the way through this entire website. You'll find links and information and good people in the chat room sharing information and all that kind of stuff. So there are some good things and some good people left in this world. So faith in humanity and good things, people doing good deeds and amazing things. Well, before I actually started typing those phrases in, there's three videos that I posted inside the chat room, because as I woke up this morning and I started thinking about where do I want to take to the Knights of the Round Table to start off. You know, usually the Knights of the Round Table will take a life of its own, and we go in all kinds of directions. We might start laughing and end up crying, or we might start crying and end up laughing, and that's just the way things seem to happen, but they always take on a life of their own. So, anyway, these videos are some pretty amazing art that people have done. And it really blows my mind whenever you get out there and you really start to look at some of the creative things that people are accomplishing. There's amazing athletes out there. There's amazing artists. There's amazing cooks and singers and, you know, just all-around musicians. If you really take a look at this world is one amazing creation. Just the world in itself, the earth that we live on, the animals and the life and everything, it's just so amazing. Now there are people who, you know, they skew everything. There's some things that pass off as artwork that are vulgar, just disgusting, you know. But if you really look, if you really go out there and you pay attention, you'll find people that are just so amazing when they create with their hands and their minds and the things that they do. So I always have, this kind of optimistic view about life. I think that, I got this faith in humanity, and I got this dream of us all figuring out, what our true purpose is and us coming together, that I know that with the talents that I've seen, that I've witnessed throughout my life, that if we were ever to be able to come together, the things that we would accomplish would be so amazing. And I actually believe that to some extent, maybe to a whole lot larger extent than we actually pay attention to, that nature itself imitates us, you know, to the extent of our feelings and our reactions and the way that we treat one another and the way that we treat our planet. I believe that we have a closer bond to nature than we actually realize we do. I believe we actually have a closer bond to one another than we really do. I've told stories about whenever I'm in a really poor mood and I get around some people and the negativity feeds off of itself, and before too long, you feel worse than you were when you started. You know, it's like being a sponge, you know. When I'm around somebody who's happy, I'm happy. When I'm around somebody who's sad, I'm sad. It's just strange. It might be my Achilles heel, I guess. But nonetheless, I know that there's good in the world. I've seen amazing things in this world. I've seen amazing artists, things that people do. There's one guy that took a bunch of toothpicks and thousands of toothpicks and made an incredible, deal that you just have to see it for yourself. Another guy took cardboard and he built a race car out of cardboard. There were sculptors that, how they do it, it's just mind-blowing that they can sculpt on something as tiny as a grain of rice. They can sculpt on a tip of a pencil, and they can sculpt wood, turn wood, what would have been just a piece of wood, into an amazing piece of art. So, you know, in my book of faith, it talks about how we were created in our Creator's image. And so that, to me, kind of tells me that we are, to some extent, creators. You know, we create our own pain, we create our own destiny, we create our own suffering to some extent. We do that for each other, we do that for our planet that we live on, or Earth, or whatever. We have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for. And each and every one of you are so much more important than you can possibly imagine. You know, I try to pull people out of that slump whenever they start to talk negative about themselves personally. I don't believe that anybody is bad. I don't believe that anybody is all at fault. I don't believe that everybody is responsible for every single bad thing that happens in the world. And to watch that spirit as it slumps down into the great abyss, you know, it drags me with it, and I don't want to go down there. I don't want them to be down there. I want them to stay in the light, so to speak. I do have faith in humanity because I've seen what people can do. I've seen people risk their own safety to go out there and try to rescue somebody. I've seen people risk their own safety to go out and try to rescue animals. And I've seen animals rescue people. It's amazing how this relationship that we have with nature is so closely bound with each other. You know, I say it, but sometimes it seems even crazy to myself, and sometimes I'm sure it sounds crazy to other people, but every single time I'm sad, it seems to rain. And every time I'm, like, really happy, it's sunny outside. You know, that's not to say I'm that special or anything. I'm not trying to say that at all. But what I'm saying is nature seems to know how we feel. All of us. We seem to know how we feel. We don't even have to be in the same state. Your brother or your sister or your mom feels sick somewhere else and you feel it. And you call them up on the phone. You okay, mom? You okay, brother or sister or whatever? The things that you say to do with your significant other sitting on the couch and you're answering their questions before they ever even open their mouth. I didn't ask you that. Oh, I thought you did. Maybe they did, but maybe you got it before they got a chance to say it. There's amazing things in this world. There's amazing people in this world. There's so much more to this world than actually meets the eye. That's why I truly believe in the dream, because I believe in some of the words that were said by some pretty impressive people. Some may just think they're myths or stories or fairy tales or whatever, but some of the words that were said in the history of time were pretty prophetic as far as I'm concerned. But Jesus said that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could move mountains. And so if I'm to truly believe that, I have to believe that if I look out there in this world and I see bad things, I got to raise my voice against those bad things and try to find something positive to say to this world. Throw that positive pebble in there. You know, that little mustard seed, to plant the seed like Barbara is always talking about. The seed planters. We plant a good seed out there and it grows into a big old fruitful tree of peace and love like Two Dog always talks about. The tree of peace from his tradition. Two Dog's out there gathering up flags, trying to bring nations and places together, people, and he's trying to do amazing things. The words that come out of Patty's mouth every time she's on the Knights of the Round Table, just mind-blowing. The wonderful souls that we have gathered here to do the Knights of the Round Table, the people that show up in the chat rooms, the people involved behind the scenes to hold these networks together. It's amazing. And I think that is a power. I think that, I honestly believe that we have a superpower. And it comes from right from that heart. It's that word that we keep talking about, love, you know. I think love is a superpower. Somebody seeing an animal out there in the middle of the road is about to get run over by a car. They get out there and they take the love out of their heart and they take the fear out of their body and they get that animal to safety. Or an elderly couple or somebody trying to get across the street. They take the time out of their life to go out there and make a difference. The homeless man that some stranger just comes by to feed. You know, the person that you least would expect would come and help you out would probably be the first one rushing in there to save you. The true spirit of humans, I don't believe, is inherently evil. I believe that we have so much potential. And if we ever choose to use our free will to do some wonderful things in this world, I think that at some point in our history, if we start moving in the right direction, there won't be phrases such as homelessness and starvation and sickness. You know, Jesus said that all these things that I do, you can do as well if you truly believe. I truly believe. I believe we have the power to heal each other. I believe we have the power to heal this world. I believe that we have the power to work in true harmony with each other and nature. And the world that we could bring about. even to the extent where you've looked out there in this world and you can't seem to find all these things that I'm talking about, and you think all hope is lost, that all things are just terrible, that there's no way that we're ever going to be able to get this. I'm telling you, I'm reaching for the star. I'm reaching past the stars. I'm reaching for the galaxy or whatever. But I'm not trying to take my dream halfway. I'm trying to take it all the way. Even to the extent that most folks might not believe that it's even remotely possible that all these things must come to pass, I still believe in the dream. That if we ever chose to do so, we could bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. I believe we have that power. I believe it is actually a choice. And I believe the words spoken in the book that most people despise a long, long time ago was a story of a man. And even whether it be, you know, a messenger or a fairy tale or just a story or hopeful thinking of some wise man from many, many years ago, those words resonated in my heart and made me believe in the dream. So with that said, I'm not here alone. Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Well, hi there, Yanni Washte. Good morning, and good morning to everybody in the chat, everyone who's out there listening, tuning in. It's a rainy day here today, so you must be sad.
Are you in a good mood?
I'm in a good mood.
Well, then.
Yeah, I like what you're talking about today, and you know, I do have always said this, and these are some of my beliefs and teachings, is about how our connectedness to everything, and how we don't even really realize how we are creating our reality every day with what we believe in. First of all, the belief has a power. So what you carry inside of yourself as your beliefs, for instance, have a power. And the Mother Earth and all of creation mirrors its inhabitants, I'm going to say. So we are the children of the Earth, and everything we vibrate, we call it vibration, or the energy that we carry or that we are, you know, has an impact, either positively or negatively. And so I live my life in that way. That is an ancient wisdom and teachings of our elders. So I do feel that strongly. And we kind of get sidetracked, like you were talking about YouTube. You know, there's not much there if you're looking for some good things. There's tons of stuff to be found everywhere, of course, on the web. And it seems to me there's a lot of energy spent, and I'm going to say energy spent, on bringing the masses, you know, all of us, the bad stuff, the worrisome stuff, the terrifying stuff.
Well, you know, there's actually people who get paid to go out there and spread propaganda and terrible stuff.
No.
Yeah, so why would, you know, what I'm not trying to ask myself is, what kind of person would take money to go out there and tell the world how terrible the world was?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that do things that you say, why on earth, who is this world, and how can they do that, and so on. And this is one of the, you know, issues or problems that we have in today's world. And it's a long story, I guess you'd say, because how could a person take money to spew out hate, for instance, or you know, prejudices, or troll people, and so on and so forth. But there are people like that, unfortunately, and I guess we have to pay attention to how that affects us, because it is going to affect us if we are paying attention to those persons.
Yeah.
If that's what we spend our days, you know, absorbing or paying attention to, or believing, well, these people are telling the truth, then it's kind of how is it going to affect us, right? So we are energetic beings, and we are easily affected by things. You know, as you say, well, you know, when you go, when you feel sad, you, it seems to always rain. And when you feel happy, then there's, the sun is out and so on. And some people might think, well, that's, come on, Chazes, that's, who do you think you are?
Yeah, that's what I say. You might say it sounds arrogant to say something like that. You know, what importance do I have to the world that it would do that? But see, I don't think this is just me. I think it's everybody.
No, it's not just you. And first of all, you're right. We are all important and we do affect things unknowingly. But there are people in our history who are called the rainmakers, who call in the Wakians or the Thunder Beings, who, I mean, this is
part... Well, you
want to
hear something funny real quick about that?
Mm-hmm.
We were at a family gathering, and it was getting ready to rain, and actually started sprinkling. And I looked over at my mom and my aunts, and all, they all was over there, and I said, don't worry, Mom, I got this. I'm going to do my reverse rain dance. And so I started doing this crazy dance backwards, and it stopped raining. I did my reverse
well,
rain
we
dance,
call
and
that,
it stopped.
We call that backwards person the Heyoka or the clown.
Yeah.
They have a power to deal. They do have a power around the weather, the Heyoka people. And when you know, some of their helpers or allies, if whatever you want to call them, are the Thunder Beings. We call them the Wakians.
Wow.
But I'm saying, so there's a story, but you have to be careful. There's a story about Grandfather Fool's Crow, who was a very revered holy man in the Lakota Nation. And he was a healer. He had great, amazing, and extraordinary abilities. So they were out on the plains, you know, when the conquerors came here and from Europe, the people had to hide their ceremonies, and so therefore they went way out on the plains where there weren't anybody around, and they would, you know, perform their ceremonies, their sacred ceremonies. So the people would gather, they'd go for miles way out onto the plains, and they'd bring all the stuff they'd need, and families, and so on. And this was to keep their sacred ways strong, because they were being denied that. And there was a big ceremony out there on the plains in the Dakotas one time, and the elders were there, of course, and the medicine people and medicine men and women. And somebody came along and said, you know, there's been reports of a tornado on its way, right, coming in this area here. So the elders were concerned because the people were out on the plains, so they would be very vulnerable. So the elders and medicine people got together, and Fool's Crow said, well, they redirected through their prayers and ceremonies, they redirected that tornado to bypass that ceremony area. Well, it did. It did. The winds came and whipped up and stuff like that, and they were in the ceremony, and they redirected the most serious parts of this storm to another area. Well, what happened was, though, when he described this, he said there was a small village or town, and that got the main hit of this tornado. And so they realized that, you know, he was saying you have to be very careful when you deal with these types of things, you know. And you have to be careful about how you speak to the universe. And that's what we're talking about.
That
so we,
right.
We are... what?
I said, I think you're right. It just blew me away when you said that. Just go ahead, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It just...
Well, that's okay. We speak to the universe every day. Well, as soon as we awaken, we're having conversation. And we may not realize it, but our thoughts have a power. Our beliefs have a power. Our words have a power. Our emotions have a power. So that means that we're on some level communicating with the universe. With the vibrations of those words, thoughts, and beliefs and emotions. So that's why we say, we speak about walking in a sacred manner, which means your complete awareness of yourself on this Mother Earth and in relationship to all things. And we use a word, metakuyeo yasen, which means we are all related, and it doesn't just mean people. It means everything. We are all related. So we're related to everything in creation. And how do we function in that relationship? And when you walk in a sacred manner, you are aware of your effect, your impact upon all of creation that you are related to. So, and when you wake up in the morning and you start your day, you know, if you turn on that TV or whatever and they're spewing out this negative stuff, fearful stuff, terrifying stuff, that's going to impact you and enter into you, basically, and you're going to feel something, and what you're feeling or what you're believing in or what you're focusing on then emanates from you. It's like a thought bomb, right?
Yep.
So, as you said, we have more power than we realize. And we've been told that we're powerless, that we have no connections, that we're separate.
Yeah, they like to try to tell us that all the doggone time. But they like to try to discourage us. In society, it seems like they want to make sure that everybody feels like they can't do anything without the government, you know?
And well, that's what we're told, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm seeing all the best things that I've ever seen and witnessed in my life didn't come from the government, they came from the people. You know, there's videos out there all over YouTube. You know, like I said, YouTube's probably not the best place to go out and search for good things, but when you see some of the wonderful things that people have actually done, you know, going out there, you know, a man trying to carry a little bottlenose dolphin back into the water by itself, you know, and other people coming to help, or, you know, things that when the oil slick went on, these people were out there, you know, risking their own health and safety to get out there and wash these animals down and get them back out there to where they had a chance at life again. So, you know, I'm seeing amazing things out there. You don't hear about them on the news or for very much in the alternative media. I think, for the most part, Shaziz Radio is one of the few networks out there where when we get an opportunity to talk about good things, we want to point it out because we can't always just sit there and grind on everyone's spirit and tell them, you know, the world's terrible. You know, some people might like the world being terrible. I don't know, the drama of everything. But I'm not into drama. I'm into trying to make this world better somehow. You know, it's just like, I feel like that if you at least do something, if you say something, then something gets done. But if you do nothing or say nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done or said. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I think that the awakeness of people is a key piece here because we have been inundated for so long with these particular patterns. And, you know, we kind of know that's a deliberate and people are making money off of that, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
You know. And I don't know what it is about human nature in that people seem, there's certain people, I think, that seem to want to sit there and watch someone else's misery. You know, and is that because they are themselves suffering, and sometimes it feels, gives you a little bit of something, whatever, to say, well, somebody else is worse off than me. Well, there's always somebody that's worse off than you. But the thing is that if you don't have gratitude, and these are the things we need to realize, you know, gratitude for life and the beauty all around us, and gratitude for your children, and if you have a roof over your head and food and so on, sometimes that's not enough for people.
Yep.
They're unhappy because they're looking at these TVs or whatever that's showing people living in palaces and riding around in Rolls Royces and various other things that these other people have accrued. But are these people happy? You know, I mean, you don't know if these people are satisfied or happy. I mean, it's not material things that give us happiness or inner peace. And
yeah.
I think that people are thinking or being told, if you have this, if you aspire to that and achieve this, then you will be happy. You know, you'll have peace and happiness. But, you know, that's a lie. That's kind of fake. I guess it's a temporary uplift. You win the lottery and that's a temporary, you know, a temporary experience. You go out and you purchase things and that's a temporary good feeling, you know.
Well, I tell you, the most peaceful I ever was in my entire life is when I was completely broke, jobless, and just standing out in the middle of nature. I was I made a little campfire, and I was cooking me some fried potatoes on it. I was probably lucky to even have the potatoes, and I'm cooking them over an open campfire, and I'm just looking around me at how simple and how peaceful that nature was. And at that point in time, I felt free. I didn't feel like I had obligations to try to keep the lights on or to, you know, pay bills or go to work every single day. I felt like I was just meant to just be there, you know, at that time. And if I could have built me a little log cabin out there and just stayed there for the rest of my life, I probably would. But at that particular point right. in my life, you know, it just wasn't meant to be.
Well, there are studies done, and there's always these studies done. You know, I don't know what the purpose is, but sometimes the results are good. I don't know how much difference it makes. People look at these studies and they just go on about their business in the same manner. The studies done of communities or people who have very little, but when they have very little and they're in this community or tribal circumstance, they work together. They come together. They help each other. They need each other, you know?
Yeah, they respect things more.
What?
I say, and they respect things more.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You're grateful for things more, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, so you're grateful for the crop that comes up that you work so hard to put in, or you have people, you know, you're grateful for your neighbor who can fix your whatever because you can't fix it, and then you can do something if you have a skill or whatever for that person. But this is community, but the studies have shown that the people in these circumstances that may be looked upon by others, well, these people are poor. Well, they don't have this grand house or they don't have this whatever, but these people are really happy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the studies show over and over again. I'm just saying that it doesn't show. And I suppose there's another study that says, well, people who appear to have everything are miserable people. I'm not saying all of them, but something's missing, you know. And I think what's missing with those types of people who keep aspiring to gain things and material things and money is their God, if you want to say, I don't think that these people are happy inside. I don't think they have inner peace. They may appear because they have everything, that some people may look at them and say, well, these people have everything. They must be happy. But there's something missing inside of people. If they keep searching to fill themselves up, to gain this, to gain that, to get, you know, get this and get that and achieve this and aspire to that. What on earth are they searching for? It's like some missing piece, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a simple life, simple family, doing the simple things. And, you know, something said about, you know, having just a good enough job just to pay the bills, just get by, just to take care of your family, but then being able to go home and, you know, make the best out of a bad situation and just have that love of all and support of all your children and your family and your elders being around you. I think the simple life is probably the best life. You know, there's something to be said about that, you know, having all the money in the world but not having, you know, anybody to share it with.
Thing doesn't mean that you don't have abundance in your life. It's like abundance is how you perceive your life.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it depends on what you're looking at is abundance. You know, some people are told and programmed to believe that the abundance or happiness or whatever is material. You know, so you can have very little and still have abundance in your life, you know, but again, it depends on what you believe represents abundance or success, right? Well, you can be successful and not have a big CEO job or have tons of money.
Well, honestly, I feel like that the richest man or woman in this world is the one that has love in their heart and people to share it with.
Well, I'm going to agree with you there on that, and I think the sharing part is a key piece, because I know when you, just simple things, when you give or help someone, you receive tenfold back a feeling, a sense of something, and maybe we can't really describe what that is, you know. It's not about going out there to do things for people so that you get that feeling. No. This is about the feeling in your heart, the love and compassion for others, okay, that when you do reach out to someone or assist someone, even if it's a creature, like you were saying, a little critter in trouble, you receive something back, you know? And sometimes it's difficult to identify that, but it is a sense, it is a feeling, you know, that is indescribable in many ways. Now, you will get that if it's not, if you're helping others isn't coming from, well, I want to feel good, so I'm going to help that person. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I understand that fully.
Well, I want to read this, unless you have something else to say.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I want to read this piece here. Now, Gaz told me he does play this on the radio. This is from Charlie Chaplin. It's his final speech. So we're talking about in the 40s, you know. And he says, his final speech was, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone, if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost this way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. Now, he, of course, the term goose-stepped, he's referring to this is a time of Hitler in World War II. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. And that wasn't even the time of the computer, so he's just saying the aeroplane and the radio has brought us together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power that took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as a cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts, and you don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural soldiers don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, the kingdom of God is within man. Not one man, nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then, in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future, and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they have lied. They do not fulfill that promise, and they never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate, and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite.
Wow. It's pretty amazing.
So that's his, he played a part of in the scene of dressed as Hitler, I guess, with all of his soldiers around him, and would make fun of this dictator. And he speaks here of the dictators and men as machines. And this is so true. I question often, and I think I'm not the only one, like, how can these people do this or how can that person do that? And we question it because it is beyond our comprehension of our brothers or sisters when we see the way people behave. You know, and we see this attitude, energy, I guess I'd say, of hate rising more and more today. And it doesn't matter. You could say, well, so-and-so started this, or so-and-so is pushing this. That does not matter. What matters is that it is rising. And we have to ask, how are we participating in this, right?
Yep.
Because however we participate on a daily basis affects our reality. It affects not only our reality, but that of our children and so on, and all of nature. So that tells us how connected we are. And you're right, you could feel something. You could be a distance from a relative or a friend, even your own child or your mother or whatever, brother, sister, and something comes over you and suddenly they come into your mind and you reach out to them. You want to reach out to them because they're so strong in your mind. You say, you know, you call them, like you said, are you all right, you know, because I'm feeling or I'm thinking of you. You know, these things are very real, and most people just accept that as part of our experience, but it means something so much deeper. It tells us how connected we are.
Yep.
How we don't see those connections. Well, why don't we see this connection? It's invisible to us, but it is ever present. What is invisible to us? Well, I'm going to say invisible to many is the frequencies or the energies that are around us, that are emanating out from our words and our emotions. So it's pretty extraordinary what the great spirit creator, Wankantanka, gave us. Many things, of course, but free will is one, but also a power beyond our imagining to affect our reality and all creation. Yeah.
Stephen Gibbons in the chat room found a website called Sunny Skies. He posted a link in the super chat. If you get a chance to go over and check it out, it's got inspirational stories and fun and amazing stuff. And it just seems like one of those uplifting websites that we were talking about. Somebody needs to build a website to gather all the good news of the world and, you know, testimonies of how life isn't as bad as, basically the Matrix wants to tell us. And so between that and other stories that I see out there where, you know, people are doing wonderful things for each other and animals, and like I said earlier, there's videos out there where animals have saved people. It's like they just knew that there was something wrong and they drug them to safety and stuff, you know? It's,
yep.
I know that there's a lot of darkness in this world. But I also know that there's a lot of light in this world. And I'm thinking this big old battle that we got between good and evil, between light and dark and stuff, maybe it's never going to end because, maybe you can't have one without the other. Or maybe you can. You know? Well, however we get there, this journey that we're on, as long as we got each other, you know, there's a song out there, Lean On Me. I mean, it just, I don't know whatever you think about that song, but it talks about leaning on me whenever you're not strong and stuff. I think that's kind of got a really good message to it, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. Sometimes
we sang that song a lot in our community. We sing that song. It's a very powerful song. Says a lot, for sure.
I heard a lady just yesterday start singing. She's kind of singing kind of low, but my ears picked up the tone because I'm a musician. You know, I can hear those tones, and I was telling her how wonderful her voice sounded. And she's like really apprehensive about singing out loud. She said, I don't sing out loud. Sometimes she sings on the internet. But you can recognize that stuff when you're paying attention of people that, you know, are singers or dancers or, you know, I think that every single person in this world has a talent of some sort, of gift, whatever that gift may be. It might just be the gift of gab. I don't know. It could be maybe somebody's got multiple gifts. Somebody's a little really kind of incredibly talented in just about everything they do. Some people are amazing. Some of the things that people do athletic-wise, you know, and some of the artists like I spoke about earlier, there are people out there that when you look at the work that they've done, some of the work that they've done, they spent many years creating this one piece of art. But the fact that they were able to stick to it and the meticulous detail that you see in there, it's just incredible. If you could only see through these people's eyes what the world looked like to them, it's just amazing. I mean, there's just so much out there, so many amazing people out there. Imagine if you could get all those people, Barbara, just one time to see the vision that we've been talking about, you know, the dream, you know, making this world a better place. If all these talented people come together and decided that we're not going to allow this world to fall apart, we're going to fix it. Imagine what we could accomplish.
Well, I think that people have to realize that we are tools, or a weapon, you know, and it's how we choose to wield ourselves or live or behave or speak in every situation. We can either be a tool for something positive and good or a weapon that does harm.
Well, yeah,
you know.
Earlier when I was talking about how, you know, there's some things that get passed off as art. If you would actually look at some of the things that are passed off as art, granted the detail in there is amazing, and the people, you know, the talent, basically, you know, I would almost go as far as to say is misguided into, you know, depicting darkness almost as if it was the right, you know, the right thing to do, whatever. It's talent that if you have that kind of talent and you can draw or sing or paint or whatever, and instead of singing about, you know, glorious or good things, that you want to try to sing about the darkness, you know, it's like the most amazing voice in the world sounds like an angel singing about, you know, murder and death and darkness and all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me how somebody could squander something so amazing. I mean, this earth that we're standing on, it's to some extent, mankind, humanity has squandered what could have been the most amazing gift in the history of time. And the fact that we're all together, we actually sometimes neglect each other to the extent where you take for granted that somebody's always going to be there, and then suddenly they're not. You know, you miss out on so much. We step over miracles on a daily basis. I remember a story you was telling me about a flower in a crack out in the middle of a sidewalk somewhere.
Yep. Well, that's the power of, you know, of being, of knowing the significance of oneself, you know, that little flower. Everything in creation has a purpose, and that goes for us as well. Every human being has a purpose and is so significant. And so that little flower, you know, in the middle of New Jersey there in the parking lot, just pushing its way up through the tar of the parking lot, found a little wedge, or the power of itself being, the power of its, of it being necessary for the whole. That's a power. You don't even have to have a shovel. That little flower just had that power, knowing innately that it is necessary to be on the earth and give some joy to somebody passing by. And that bright little yellow flower, you know, made its way, pushed its way up through the tar and the cement. You know, it's pretty unbelievable. And to me, it uplifted me that day, because, you know, we were having trouble, car trouble, and on a journey to a gathering in Washington, D.C., about the elders were gathering there. And we were on the road, and we found ourselves on this area in New Jersey that was so industrial. I had never been in this place, and, you know, I'm a country girl, and I stay away from the cities, but there we were, stuck in this place that was a nightmare. It was, I never saw so many roads and crossovers and bridges and you know, traffic and trucks and cars and whizzing by and pushing each other along. And the energy there was pretty intense for me. And we got stuck. Our car just stopped in the middle of these highways. And people helped us move over across the road to get into a garage, a gas station. And we were sitting there determining what to do, whether we should rent a car to continue on to the gathering in Washington, D.C. on the mall, where all the teepees were going to be set up and the elders were going to be gathering, and people coming from all over the world bringing their words of wisdom and support. But we're stuck in New Jersey in this nightmare industrial area, factories and things spewing out of chimneys and noise and pollution, and I'm sitting there in the car and we're trying to decide, well, what should we do? Should we go back home? Should we continue on? Should we rent a car? What should we do? And so, while the person who's driving her car is talking to the people in the garage about the seriousness of the car situation, I'm sitting there and I'm looking out the window, and I see this really bright, bright little yellow over across the parking lot. And I see how this is a little daisy, a dandelion rather, a little dandelion, you know, the bright yellow. You know those little dandelions that people kill on their lawn?
Yeah.
with pesticides.
Some people make tea out of them.
Well, it's a medicine. It's a very healing medicine. Not only the root, but the flower itself is a salve, can be made into a salve for pain, you know. So I'm sitting there and I'm amazed. I'm just gifted this amazement about nature. How nature never gives up. If that little flower wants to grow, it will make its way through tons of cement and tar that is put over the earth there. It came to me that, wow, the earth beneath this parking lot and all these roads and everything can't breathe, you know. I'm thinking of all these things about how we cover up the life force of the Mother Earth and all of nature, and we just put up a parking lot, you know, and so on, and highways and cement everything down and tar everything over, and how this is just one place in our world there in New Jersey that this is done. And I was just thinking of nature and how powerful she is, that that little flower needed to come up through that stuff and shine, and really shine, and send out something from the mother, because its roots are deep into the mother, beneath the parking lot. And this little flower had a job to do, you know. It's almost like, I'm not giving up. And I think we could take something from that, you know. We can be despairing, and we can be pushed down, and we can be held down by society's ways, and and training, brainwashings in other people. But we have a spark inside of us. It's that life force. It's that light. It's that spirit within us, where we find ourselves, you know, some power, a power that comes oftentimes when things look so bad. Sometimes something happens to us where we lift up, stand up, and feel empowered, feel purposeful, feel, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going to lay down for this. I'm not going to allow this to happen. What is that inside of us? You know, that little flower has that.
Well, I don't know, but I just Googled up flower in the dump and actually found a photo of a flower in the middle of the dump.
Flower in the dump.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a link to the picture.
Okay.
I'm throwing it in the chat room for everybody. But, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about, you know. Right now, we got things going on in this world that are just off the scale, you know. It just, I don't know. It just...
Well, I'm going to say, you know, we all want peace. Everybody, and we've said this so many times, if you get a bunch of people from all walks of life, from all religions or no religions or whatever, and you sit them down in a room and you ask them, what is it that you really want in life, you know? What do you want for your families, your children, your grandchildren? And everyone would say the same thing. I mean, it's doubtless to me that they would say, well, I want war, you know, I want famine. I mean, that just doesn't come up. That's just not in the equation. People will say, well, I want my children to be healthy. I want my children and my grandchildren to have clean water. I don't want my children to go to war. We would all say the same thing. We all really want peace. You know, and peace comes from being able to contribute the best that we have and all that we are toward creating a world that supports everyone, but is also securing the space for others to contribute the best that they have and all that they have.
So how do you think that the good people of the world get manipulated into doing the rottenest things that you can imagine? I mean, there's a lot of people that went to war. There's actually a story out there about soldiers who have gone to war, and they came back after the war was over with the same exact amount of ammunition they had when they left. Never fired a shot through the entire deal.
Well, there's a story about a particular soldier, and I can't quite remember who this was or the circumstances, but he refused to take a gun, and as he was told. And he refused to participate in killing another human being during this war. As a matter of fact, he did go out with the other men who carried guns, but he carried no gun. And he himself carried so many wounded men off the battleground without ever getting harmed, without ever raising a gun or holding a gun or having a gun. And that's the story of this one man.
Well, that's, I know what story you're talking about, and that's amazing, because that to me is a true hero. You know, somebody who's going to stick firm to their beliefs and goodness, and, you know, he wasn't a coward. He went out there on the battlefield.
Oh, he was not a coward. He drugged people off. Yeah, he would not participate in the machine. He would not participate in destroying another mother's son, another father's son. He would not participate in that. And if everyone determined that, imagine if the soldiers put down their guns and said, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm just not going to do this. Yeah. I mean, but you see, these men and women now who go to wars or who are culled, and I'm going to say culled, you know, like you cull animals when you're going to slaughter them. You cull various things, you know, that's called culling. You take these people's lives and then they're trained, you see. And if you were in any type of military, you would be severely trained. Your resistance and your compassion would be eliminated through training, and you would be brainwashed and told that this is other whatever, and this is what they look like, and they are your enemy, and you must kill them, you must destroy them for your country, you know, to save your country or whatever. So these people, unfortunately, are not just sent, you know, come from your home and go into this system, this military system, and then go out into the field, into war. These people go through training. You know, the training is basically to break down the morals, break down the compassion or love for humanity, rebuild these people into machines.
Yeah,
killer machines.
Not only
right?
that, there's an actual science behind desensitizing people
to doing
things that they otherwise would not do.
Well, yeah. I think we're all being subjected to this desensitizing today. Now, we're not in the military. I'm not in the military. My neighbors aren't, but you know, you can see people on Facebook or people wherever's, they're not in the military, but everyone seems to be desensitized. Morals are down the tubes, and hate is rising, and divisiveness is rising, disunity is rising. Well, what the heck is happening? What's going on with our brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
That they can come to the place and spew out hatred or divisiveness or point fingers at others, you know, that's the machine. Well, I call them the authorities. It's the authorities who run the machine, that we are subjected to the machine every day of our lives. So we're having more difficulty these days. People are really struggling to keep keep out of this the clutches of this machine.
Yeah, one of the most disturbing videos that I ever did see on YouTube, because I've seen a lot of disturbing videos, but one of the most disturbing one was watching these videos of soldiers over in places like Iraq or Afghanistan. I don't know which one it was, but either way, they were mowing people down with machine guns while laughing about it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand how somebody could be like that, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have seen, you know, I have seen videos that are heartbreaking of, it's bad enough to watch what you're describing, but against creatures, against animals, where I have seen, you know, acts of cruelty with people enjoying it, people laughing, thinking that it's funny, or humorous, or they get their kicks out of cruelty.
Well, we talked about Hillary Clinton. She was wringing her hands and saying, we came, we saw, he died, and laughing about it. I mean, the evilness in that cackling. I mean, even if it was just...
That struck you like that. It struck me like that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear too much about that. I didn't hear an outrage. I did not.
Nope.
I know people who saw that, and they just sat there like dummies, not feeling anything. It was just, it went over their heads. They didn't get the level of evil from that behavior of that woman. Nope. I was shocked. I was like, I don't care what a person is doing or does or whatever, but to have such glee,
yeah,
to have such joy about killing another person, a human being, I don't care what that human being has done, that yes, that human being who did whatever, you know, needs to come to trial, needs to, you know, get what they deserve, if you want to say, but to be gleeful. Well, listen, in the days in the 30s and 40s and whatever, 50s, you had people coming with picnics to see a hanging of a black man, a tarring and hanging or a burning of a black man. You've seen that go way back to the witch hunts. You've seen people coming and yelling and screaming in joy and happiness to see a woman burn to death because somebody said, well, she's a witch. You see, what's with human nature? I mean, we're going far back into the burning times, the times of the Inquisition.
Yeah.
How long ago was that people would come and bring their whole families to watch somebody be burned at the stake?
Yeah,
with joy. I don't get it. So it's not like they're watching TV. saying, yeah, you know, they're not being imprinted that way, but they are being brainwashed and imprinted by an authority. And the church at that time was the authority to burn women as witches. Others who were, you know, not Christian.
Yeah.
Same thing here on Turtle Island. You had the murder of innocent Indian people because they were called heathens or devil worshippers, or they weren't Christians, so you could violate them, murder them. You could cut their body parts off and ride them around on your horse, you know, or wear them. You could, you know, I mean, this is
That's terrible.
This is stuff.
That's terrible.
This stuff's been going on, and it's, so to me, it is an evil energy, okay, when an authority stands up, and you believe this authority, and this authority stands up. Now, Patty and I did a whole show on the lies of the authorities a couple weeks ago. I think it was a very powerful show because I realized how we are, the majority of people are not their own authority. Everything that we deal with today, we are under the authority's rule. Every part of our lives, the whole system is authoritarian. We are told through education, through religion, through politics, through financial system, every system that we are under is led and overruled by or ruled by authorities. Who are these authorities? Who gives them the right to say, I am authorities here and this is what you do. You must do what I tell you to do or believe what I tell you to believe. There has always been the authorities who take these positions, and these people are not nice. They have an agenda. I don't care how long you go back in history, you will always find persons who step up to the plate.
Unfortunately, we the people give them the power.
Well, that's exactly right. We give these authorities the power we believe or think that we have our own authority. We believe we are determining our lives. We believe that we are aspiring to things out of our own conscious, you know, need, want, desire, or whatever. No, we are being constantly, basically, ruled in every aspect of our life by authoritarian brainwashing. And if you think about it, you know, people, if you're into the technology, of course, and you're connected and turned into this net, caught into the net, everything through advertising, through somebody standing up there as an authority saying this or that or whatever to you, that implants or plants a message into your brain, into your consciousness. And subliminally and outwardly and all these symbols and everything, the language that is used upon us, we are not our own authorities. And that's why people go to war and kill other people's children.
Well, on that subject of technology, right before you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I used to have this different view about video games out there in the world. You know, it's just a video game, it's no big deal. But as I watched the progression of these video games, they might went from, you know, a funny little bunk on the head to now first-person shooter games where they're running around killing people, stealing and doing things that you normally would get thrown in jail for or that would be considered not acceptable in society. A lot of these kids are playing these games these days, and it desensitizes them. That's why I was thinking, could it be that some of these youth that were out there in the Afghanistan and Iraq and different wars like that, the ones that were laughing and shooting at other people, you know, in their mind desensitized to this is almost like a video game and they already was told it's okay to do this because these are bad people that you're shooting. When in not every case it could have been the fact that every single person that they were doing that to was bad people. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to discourage you talk about the military to the extent to say that, you know, the military is all rotten, but you got to admit, throughout the history of wars, good men and women have been basically snookered into doing rotten things in the guise of patriotism or fighting against, you know, terrorists or whatever. And so we really got our work cut out for us, and we really have to kind of like be like that man that you told the story about that He refused to take a doggone weapon into war. Instead, he went out on the battlefield dragging wounded soldiers to safety. You know, it's not an easy task. And it seems like the more you try to be good in this world, the harder that this world seems to want to come down on you. And I keep saying this world, but maybe it's not the right phrase to say, because it's not the earth, it's not nature, it's not the world itself, it's the society that we have allowed to just basically deteriorate. And
it's the authorities. You see, this is the whole point. Yeah. We've lost our own authority. We've lost critical thinking, okay, because authority leads us in thinking. We've lost our connectedness to our own wisdom within, and we are reliant upon these authorities, these persons. We give them the authority, okay? We're the ones who give them the authority, and they're willing to take it.
Yeah, basically tells you if you're angry, go out and hurt somebody. You know, if somebody does you wrong, do unto others.
Well, basically, they tell you to be angry. They tell you to be angry. They tell you that those others or that person or whatever is your problem. These people are your problem. The color of that person is your problem. The religion of that person is your problem. Or the determination of whatever that person wants to do, whatever, whomever. They are your problem.
I would be willing to bet. And I wish we could bring one person from every single nation, but I would be willing to bet anything in this world that if you was to talk to the average Joe, because the media is always saying that everybody around the world hates America. They hate America. They hate Americans, all right? Well, I would be willing to bet that if you actually talk to those people one-on-one, it's not America or Americans they hate. It's our government that they hate.
Well, people have said that in Iran. There were people, they were talking, interviewing people in the streets, and they were saying that because they were burning American flags and effigies and blah, 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 and they were all up in arms against America, and the people in the street were saying, we don't hate the people of America. We hate their government, their system, and I don't blame them. I'm not a hater, but I get what they're saying.
It's understandable. You know, you come from a...
And why is it understandable? Because we know, right, Shazuz? Yeah. We know the interference of our government, of the political system, of the war machine, yeah, into these countries where we have no business.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what we're looking at right now.
They didn't give you a vote, did they? They didn't ask you, Barbara Three Crow, do you want to go over there and war with these people? They didn't sit down and ask you if you agree.
And, you know, it's a political money machine that we're talking about, because how does our country, our government, have the right to put sanctions on another government? The people are the ones that suffer with these sanctions.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And they're trying to use the good people to get their own government under control. Like, the good people have any say about it. In a corrupt government, you can put sanctions on them, but it's the average Joe that's paying the price for it, because it's like, you know, if you don't buy gas from this particular company, you know, this other company will succeed, vice versa. They're, you know, like boycotting people. But the people on one side are end up getting higher gases because people on the other side ain't paying for gas or whatever. You see what I'm trying to say here? It's like,
well, what I'm saying, too, is that the authorities are the ones who are running our lives in all countries, in all places, all over the world.
Yeah, but it's the people paying the price.
And we, the people, have given them the authority by following their... When they say these people are the enemy, that's the authorities telling us, so those people are the enemy, well, then everybody follows that. These people, and everybody goes in that direction and spews out the hate or goes to war against people who are just like us.
Yeah.
They just want a good life. They just want peace. They want health.
Yeah.
You know, but these leaders, these authorities, are running everything through their own greed.
Well, because in the corporate world out there, money is everything. You know, and so when you got rich people that want to stay rich, and then they go out and they lobby politicians for laws that will benefit them tax wise or, you know, any other, you know, regulation-wise, you know, that gets the dirty deeds going on in politics. And even in the dark world of drugs and child trafficking and human slavery, there's money to be made out there. And so there are dirty deeds happening on a regular basis in political systems that are supposedly there to serve the people, but end up being, you know, like a congressman that has a list of bodies that followed a, what is the word I'm trying to say, body trail, you know, going all the way back many years, if not decades. And it seems like anybody who comes against certain families, they end up not faring so well. You know, people, assassinations and such.
If you're telling that story, but people will not believe you, that this, you see, this is where people are completely ruled by the authorities, where they cannot believe such a thing.
Yeah.
Because it's they can't comprehend that there are evil people in positions of authority, and it's across the board.
Sometimes the stories are so incredibly rotten that they are unbelievable, because nobody can...
Well, because you know why? Because innately we're good people, and innately we're loving, compassionate people, and we think everybody else is the same way. I can't wrap my mind around somebody, you know, what I'm seeing. I mean, I know that it's real, because I see the documents on these things and the information, you know, and it's like an upward hill battle. It's so deep and deeply embedded in the world, this level of evil and darkness and manipulations of people's lives and using people's lives for greed and their own gain. It's so beyond our comprehension, because how do you wrap your mind around this? How do you wrap your mind around so-and-so who's standing up there looking, you know, looking like a normal human being and smiling and has a family and grandkids and all that stuff, and then when you find out what they've been doing behind the scenes for their own gain, it's a little shocking. It's hard to imagine.
I've met people in my life.
We don't want to know this, you see. I have had people, I don't want to know it. I don't want to know this. Yep. I don't believe it. I don't want to know it. Well, you know, what do they call that? I don't know what to title that, but it's like, don't tell me or don't talk to me about this stuff, you know?
I don't know, but
I'm not going to pay attention. I'm just going to ignore that and go about my business.
I've met people in my life that if you saw them out there in public and how they interact with people, they seem like the most wonderful person you could ever imagine. But in their private life, what they do to their family, terrible things.
Well, I've come to the realization, and I may sound like I'm a biased person here, but I don't think so. I've come to the realization, this is why I use the word authorities, because what I've realized over these years, many, many years, is that those who are in positions of authority unfortunately get into some dark stuff because they must maintain their authority.
Yeah.
So they're sort of tempted to do, well, okay, I'll do this and that, because if I don't do this or that, then I'm going to lose my position.
And then
I'm
going to
lose my wealth or my position of control here.
Yeah.
So that's every person, I think, the authorities in the system, basically, are all one in the same, in my estimation.
I would be willing to bet that just about every senator or congressman or representative out there that got into the political system, they may have been very well decent people when they first got there. But it's just like in law enforcement. If you do one thing, just one thing, if you allow your morals or to bend the law just one time, then they've got you right where they want you.
And they do that. They set that up. You see, I kind of agree with you. I think that there are good people who get into bad circumstances.
But once
you step into these realms where these authorities have set up a system of controlling you, controlling your life, once you get into that system, you are controlled. And if you step away, and I've seen people step away who were kind of like, first they kind of agreed, but then it got so dark and so much darker and so much darker and evil that they did escape, and they speak about it if they're still alive to speak about it.
Yep.
You know, but they're in. This is the system of authority that we are all under, and some who step into that realm to be a politician or to be an educator or to gain a position. If you want to gain a position, the authorities are already there. the authorities have already usurped this whole system, so that if you aspire to anything, you are going to pay the price of what the authorities are requesting of you, or you're out.
Oh, yeah, they got dirt on everything, everybody that they can possibly get dirt on just for such an emergency. Maybe you want to run for president one day because you're tired of things. But by the time you get up there, they got so much stuff up against you. And when you say, you know, you either don't remember or you just don't tell them about it, then suddenly you're lying or whatever. Well, here's the tape. Here's the recording that we got.
Well, or they make things up.
Yeah,
and they're good at making things up, and they're good at pulling out whatever dirt or whatever it is they'll find. They'll create it. If it's not there, they'll create it.
Yeah.
And this is what we're under, is this authoritarian rule in every system that we function in or attempt to function in. Every part of our lives, the food industry, the medical industry, the education industry, you know, these are all corporates. Even the church is a corporation. The church is one of the wealthiest corporations in the world, the Vatican.
Yep.
You know, and we see what's been going on there, and that's nothing new, but it's all over. It's rampant. And so I'm going to say this. There is a light in the world, a healing spirit more powerful than any darkness that we may encounter. We sometimes lose sight of this force when there is suffering and too much pain. And then here's the piece. Suddenly the spirit will emerge through the lives of ordinary people who hear a call and answer in some extraordinary way. And this is what I was talking about before. That's a quote by Richard Attenborough. This is what I was talking about before with that little dandelion. There's some spirit, a power within that little dandelion, right? We have that within ourselves. That's why we say, wow, when an emergency happens or a disaster happens, something overtakes the people and they come together to help. They come together and they manifest extraordinary feats in certain circumstances, you know. There's something inside of us all, and we have to know that there is a healing spirit, a light that is more powerful than any darkness that we may encounter. And if you believe that, that will be your reality, that will be your experience. But it's true. There is that light that's more powerful than the dark. That's been proven throughout history over and over and over again. Yeah. You know?
There's a lot of stories out there about good over evil, you know, and that's why I was saying a long time ago, my favorite part of all the movies that I've ever seen, you know, there might be like some doomsday movie or something, but it's the part in the movie where all these people come together and they work together to triumph over the darkness, you know. Those are my favorite parts of the movie. I guess that's actually my favorite part of life, is when people somehow manage to overcome, you know, things, overwhelming odds against them, you know, and they come together and they make it happen. I know we got the power to fix this world. I know we do. I mean, as many naysayers as you could put out there on the table, I would argue till I was blue in the face with every single one of them, saying that it isn't over until it's over. And as long as we have all these talents and skills and gifts that we've got, that we've acquired through our lives, and all the resources that this world has to offer, if we took and focused all that energy, looking at what we can do on, you know, war and stuff like that, we can amass tons and tons of machinery and weapons and food and medical supplies and muster up all the men and women to go over there to some other nation and basically destroy everything that they got just to prove a point or try to, you know, get them around our way of thinking. That's not right. We could take that same strength and focus it into something positive. You know, every little positive pay it forward or positive pebble in the pond or smile from your face to somebody else, it has a lot of power. It has a significant amount of power. And until people realize their true potential and how important they are as an individual. Now, I say things like, if you want to see a miracle, find the miracle that you've been waiting for, go look in the mirror. Because you are that miracle you've been waiting for. You can look out there in this world and you can find negativity if you want to find it. It's abundant. It's maybe a little bit harder in this day and age because everybody's been desensitized to the dark side to where, you know, it ain't no big deal to go around and drop an F-bomb or an S-bomb every 5 seconds. It's like just part of the society. We talk like that nowadays. We didn't used to talk like that. We used to be respectful. We used to hold the doors open for ladies and they didn't get offended by it. We used to open the door for elderly men. They didn't get offended by it. You know, we used to go out there and make sure the children could make it across the street safely and we'd keep an eye on them, make sure they were all right till they got to their home or whatever. Neighbors watched out for neighbors. Neighbors would know when their neighbors were suffering and they would bring them food or medical supplies or just come over to visit to see how they're doing or take care of each other. Neighbors used to lend a hand to one another. Nowadays, you don't know most of your neighbors. They won't talk to you. They've been told that, you know, your neighbor's crazy or your neighbor's a Democrat or a Republican and they're not for you, they're against you, they're your enemy or whatever. We've been divided politically, we've been divided spiritually, we've been divided emotionally, physically, from the color of our skin to maybe you don't look as good as society said you're supposed to look. Maybe you're fat and I'm too skinny. Maybe there's a difference between all of us. Maybe I smell funny. I don't know, but there's so many differences, so many labels that have been put upon each and every individual out there and groups of people that have divided this world to the extent where now we're desensitized to the world. It's nothing to see a man that looks like he fell face first into a tackle box, you know? Or a woman that's all tattooed from top to bottom. And it's all to each his own, whatever. It's no big deal. You violate yourself, you violate one another, and as we are doing this, the leaders of this world, the so-called representation, are in bed with corporations who are violating nature. They're cracking up the ground for Pete's sake. They're shooting water into the ground, chemicals into the ground to crack the ground, to release natural gases and oil, you know, nature's life's blood. And in the same process, wondering why it is that several miles down the road, there is a big sinkhole in the road. They're fracking the grounds down the road from your house, and the next thing you know, you wake up and you're in this big old hole, you know. They don't understand the basic science and physics of hydraulic pressure. You know, if you got water underneath you're sitting on a water table and somebody drains the water table dry and you fall into a big hole, that's because you no longer have the pressure up under there. And suddenly it's terrible. It's doom and gloom. The world's coming to an end. Well, no. You're bringing it to an end. You're expediting the end. You're basically destroying everything that nature had provided for you because you haven't paid attention. If you suck all the gas out from underneath the ground that was holding the pressure that was keeping that ground up to begin with, and now you got a hole in the middle of your city, well, you got to ask yourself why. Was that a smart thing to do? In Louisiana, tons and tons and tons of water went down into a huge salt mine, and there was big giant whirlpools as they're sucking trees down into this hole that was man-made. What? And you're surprised? If you go over and you bomb somebody into the Stone Age and now they're suffering and want to send refugees somewhere else to go somewhere to have a better life, can you blame them for wanting to leave? Can you blame them for not wanting to sit around and breathe depleted uranium from bullets that were made from materials that weren't really meant for human consumption? Dying of lead poisoning, a.k.a. getting shot. I wouldn't want my family living in a place where there were bombs falling and bullets flying. Little girls standing up to soldiers and saying, stop, you know. Individuals standing in front of tanks and saying, enough. People have put themselves on the line on multiple occasions to try to stand up against authority. But they're only there alone. They're not there with a crowd. The one man standing in front of the tank should have been joined by thousands of men standing in front of that tank. The one little girl standing there trying to tell the soldiers to stop should have been joined by thousands of people. This is where we are at, people. It's not that the world's all bad, it's that we allow it. We allow so much, and we are so much more powerful than we can imagine. Just bringing your voice up loud enough. It's that my grandpa used to have this saying, wherever he got it, I don't know. But he said the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. You don't grease the ones that aren't being noisy. You grease the one that's being squeaky. So in the world of lobbying Congress and the Senate, you have loud people going up there complaining. They want their rights. They're going to boycott everybody. You can't say certain things. You can't dress a certain way. You can't wear your flag or your banner or your freedom of speech. You can't do these things anymore because the people have demanded of the government that the government steps on the neck of the people who try. And that the companies censor every single word coming out of anybody's mouth. And you can't just come out there and say, hey, this person's corrupt, this person's doing this, or whatever. You can't come out there and speak your truth about your religious spiritual journey because there is so much out there against you. You can't say it in church. You can't say it in the government. You can't say Merry Christmas on a holiday that supposedly celebrates Christmas. You have to have the proper terminology. You have to be politically correct. You have to be non-offensive to other people's rights, while at the same time, there are loud people, the squeakiest wheel, out there lobbying against your rights. I want to put a statue of the devil right next to the baby Jesus, for Pete's sake. This is what they're saying. And everyone out there who's professes that they want freedom. They want to use the governments of the world to deny their brothers and sisters of the same freedom. The brothers and sisters around the world that are allowed to be abused by corporations and companies that don't care about the people. They care about the bottom dollar. They care about the gold coin, the silver coin. 7 pieces of silver is all that it took to turn Jesus in. And if he was the Son of God, the Savior, if it only took 7 pieces of silver to turn him in, what is your life worth? What is your neighbor's life worth? What would you do to protect your family against your neighbor? Would you sell your neighbor out to feed your family? Or would you stand beside your neighbor and help him grow some food? Those are the questions that I'm asking. We have the power to fix this world if we so choose to do so. It breaks my heart to think that anyone in this world would suffer needlessly. It breaks my heart to think that anyone would have to bend their morals, their spiritual journey in life, to go out there and do harm to another man under the guise of patriotism, under the guise of the war on terror, under the guise of the war on drugs. There's a war on everything, but the biggest war in the history of time is the war against humanity. The war of words, the war for your mind, the war for your soul, the battle between good and evil that rages on in the hearts of men every day. That inspire me sometimes when I get up in the morning to just cry like a baby. Get out there and look, type the words in. Good in the world and only find bad. There's a flower in a dump in a picture, which tells me that nature's trying to peek out, that goodness is trying to peek out. There are people that are risking their lives to try to help one another. There are people that are reaching in their own pocket to feed the homeless. There are people that are going above and beyond all call of duty to go out there and try to uplift somebody's soul and somebody's spirit. There are people saving puppies. There are animals saving people. There is a symbiotic relationship between nature, God, and man that if it was ever ever to see the true light of day, we could see this world turn into something so amazing. And that's why it is that I do what I do here on this crazy radio show.
Well, and I thank you for being here, actually, and giving us all the opportunity to share our perspectives and hear these words. And, you know, you're talking about the people. Everything you said is the people are doing. The people, there are people reaching out. There are people saving animals. There are people helping others. It's the people, you see. This is what we have to keep remembering. It's the people who choose to do this against authorities who say, no, those people are not, you know, to be helped, or those people, or that situation, or it does not matter what you do. It's the people. We're the people. This is why we say, we talk about unity, and we talk about, you know, there's no such thing as a person being born hating other people. You know, we've said this so many times. And this is a quote from Nelson Mandela. And, you know, that man, we know his story. It was in prison for how many years he was imprisoned. You know, he says, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin. And when I say the color of his skin, right away we go to, well, a person of color, meaning black person, or a person with a, you know, a nation of brown people. But I'm talking about all people. All black, red, yellow, and white, and now brown. There's going to be somebody that pops up that's going to hate a black person. There's going to be some group or whatever that's going to pop up that hate the white people. There's going to be somebody that hates the red people, the yellow people. But nobody is born this way, you see. People are not born to hate. That's imprinted in us. We're trained to hate. We learn to hate. And if you have any hate in your heart, or hate comes out of your mouth, or whatever it is against another, I don't care what the color of their skin is, you have to think about, where is this coming from? I was not born with hate, you have to say. I'm not a hateful person. But here I hear out of my mouth coming out these words of hate, you know, toward this other person. Doesn't matter their skin color, because it's across the board where somebody will hate another person. Where does that come from? We have to start questioning our behavior, I think, and realize that, wait a second, somebody's running my mind here, because I was not born a hateful person. You know, I was born to be a loving person, a compassionate person. That's our nature. But if people can, Mandela says, if people can learn to hate, then they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than that opposite, than the hatefulness. And that's true. As little children, we all come in here with the ability to just love each other and not have any prejudices, not have any conditions to love. We just feel love. We're just loving. We're curious. We're creative. We're creative beings, naturally. You know, so Nelson Mandela also says, I'm fundamentally an optimist. Whether that comes from nature or nurture, I cannot say. Part of being optimistic is keeping one's head pointed toward the sun, one's feet moving forward. There were many dark moments when my faith in humanity was sorely tested, but I would not and could not give myself up to despair. That way, despair lays defeat and death. And we have to be very careful, because in my estimation, we are being fed despair. We are being fed to be hopeless and helpless.
Yeah.
And this is not our true nature.
I believe it's intentional, and I agree with you. I'm question in the chat room. Anon 1550, it says, well, what's your proposal? What do we do? And I responded with, we love with every bit of our being. You know? And Anon said, I cry too, she says, all the time, every day. I'm sure there's a whole lot of good people out there that, you know, we're not crying alone. I think there's honestly a lot of people in this world that are disheartened by the way that things are seeming to progress. But I think that if we can reach down inside ourselves and we can pull that power that's in our heart out there, it's amazing how much you can love and love and continue to love. And that heart never seems to go empty. Otherwise, it wouldn't be pain. You know, it wouldn't be painful to see things going on. The day that our hearts go dark, I wouldn't want to be part of this world the day that the hearts of humanity goes dark. We've seen the dark hearts of this world. We've seen people who are supposedly leaders laughing at the death of somebody else. And to me, if somebody's bad and they've done something terrible, and you take joy in doing something terrible to them, you just basically made yourself them. You know, I'm not saying that rotten people don't need to be held to justice. They need to be held accountable for their actions. But to take joy, to literally find it pleasing to yourself to go out and do harm to the world or other people, I just don't understand that. Maybe I'm naive to believe that, the majority of the people in this world are good, but I honestly believe that inside of each of us is the combination of both good and dark, that we have the capability of being one or the other. You know, maybe some people can find a happy medium. One day they're rotten and the next day they're wonderful, you know? I don't know. But it's a choice every time. That's what that whole free will was about. It's a free will to choose the light or the dark. I personally, because it feels right to me, it resonates with me that I want to be as close to the light as I can. I had a vision one time where I actually got to stand by God. You know, whatever you may believe that our Creator is, or whoever, or whether male or female or neither one, I don't know. But in my mind, I got to stand in the presence of God. And there ain't no human words to explain the feeling of safety and love and peace that I felt at that moment. And in that same vision, I actually got to see what the true hell would be like. That's nothing like glamorized on Hollywood or anything like that. It was a complete and utter separation from all that is good, all that is light. To be basically trapped alone in my mind in the most terrifying darkness that I ever experienced. For some reason, I understood. I got the message. And then as I looked out into this world and I started to recognize the blessings and I started noticing the miracles of life itself, something as simple as a flower or a bee or, you know, people or just the amazing things. The new gift of life when you see a baby that's born into your family and you're now a grandfather 3 times over, 4 times over. 5 times over. And you get to see that whole entire thing. The miracle. When your grandbaby looks up at you and smiles in your face and you say, you know what? I got to get out there. I got to fix this world because I want this baby to be raised in a world so much better than the one that I had to witness. That's what resonates with me. These people that come here on this radio show, the people that show up in the chat room, the words of wisdom that they speak, the good hearts that they share, the stories, that's what this is all about. That's the Knights of the Round Table. So hello there again.
Hey. I had to feed the wood stove here.
Well, you got to stay warm, lady. Don't need to get the snivels.
Right. Yep. Glad we have wood. For sure. I just want to say that, with my time in researching and things that are going on in the world and how... And I've talked about this, about how I feel like it can't get any deeper. It can't get any darker. It can't get any more crazy, or it can't get any more weird. But also, and I see that every time I do some kind of research or go down a rabbit hole, that, you know, coming back up and seeing, wow, it is getting weirder out there. It is getting crazier and so on. But I want to say that I've come to the realization that no matter what I find out, and no matter how wackadoodle and crazier and weirder and it is or gets or looks to be, it doesn't matter. You know, I've just come to that realization that what does matter? I have to come to start to think, okay, what does matter? You know, what is really important for me personally, you know, and I hope that what I share always, you know, touches someone or gives you something to think about or reflect upon. But what I'm saying is, yeah, there are things that are going bump in the night, and yes, there are things that are shocking and stunning, and not just today, but what has been going on and what we don't really know. I mean, there is stuff that we have no idea. And, of course, this is all from the lies and the cover-up of things, what is really going on, by those authorities that I speak of, by the controllers, the elites, you know, whatever you want to call them. There is a faction of peoples and others, I don't know what to call them, who are controlling things, or they have attempted to, and they've certainly been lying to us for millennia about what's really going on, our origins, what is happening here on this Mother Earth, as well as out there in the cosmos. And over time, there have been little dribs and drabs and informations and disclosures and naysayers, and also there's the conspiracy wackadoodles, and, you know, all this is a complex system of information. And so when I find out these things, sometimes I have to walk away and I go, you know, wow, this is huge and this is monumental what persons, groups of the elite have been manipulating and controlling and doing behind the scenes. And we're just trying to live our lives here. We're all just trying to, you know, keep steady and have some good things and live a free life and take care of each other, help each other and grow and have healthy food and for our children and our grandchildren. But these people are busy working behind the scenes to gain control of our lives and of the world and outer space now, frankly, because that's the new frontier. And I just say, okay, I step away and I say, all right, you know, I see all these things. I get it. Yes, it's monumental. Yes, it's shocking. Yes. But for me personally, what is more important? What can I do, you know, in my little world, in my little sphere here, to make a difference? And the only thing that really matters to me is the way I walk. My words, my emotions, and my acts. That is the only thing that is ultimately and completely, in the end, in the final piece, that matters. So what I'm saying is, yeah, all these elite and leaders, so-called leaders and so on and so forth, can do what they want. I have to do what I must do. And that to me is like, okay, shine my light. Speak something good.
Be that flower, you know, in the dump?
Huh? Be the flower in the dump. Be that little flower in the dump.
Yep. That's it. I think we're all kind of like...
That is in my hands.
Yeah.
Because I am my own authority. Because I am in control. I am the gatekeeper of my own life. Or at least that's what my goal is. Because I see every day the temptations in front of me to be in despair, you know, to just throw up my hands in the air and say, well, this is nothing I can do.
But you know,
these people are powerful, or these people have the ability or more money or whatever it is, they are in positions, you know, but no, that is not true. If we go that way, like Nelson Mandela says, well, that's the roadway of the end, pretty much.
Being that light or that flower, that flower in the dump, so to speak, you know, when other people see that, they basically migrate towards what they feel in their hearts right. And so when you're standing there being like that lighthouse or that flower, you're basically being... I'm at a loss for words, Barbara. I don't understand why things have to be the way they are, but I know that if you put one candle in the darkest cave, then you can overcome the darkness. That's all it takes, is one candle. Now imagine if you got a million candles. Imagine if you got 9 billion candles.
Well, I'm not even going to go there. I'm saying, see, within myself, I've come to realize that what I am and how I walk and live my life is very significant. I'm not looking for others. I'm not saying, well, imagine there's more than of me and blah. That's not where I'm going to go. I'm just saying that I've come to realize how significant my light is, my words, and so on. Because I realize the universal law of connectedness and relationship and oneness, you see. That is something that I've come to realize, that we, you know, I'm going to say we now, I'm going to include everyone, that how we are all connected. Now, I've come to the realization that we are all connected. That means, well, I am certainly connected, and I have an impact on everyone and everything in creation. I have come to realize that. I can't wait for you to come to that conclusion. I can't hope or imagine that, you know, thousands of people are going to suddenly shift and realize the impact that we are having upon each other and our relationship and our connectedness, and how we think impacts everyone, and how we act, or our emotions or our words are a frequency, a vibration that has a power either to be positive or negative. Okay, so I'm talking about myself and my realization. And so I'm going to include, yes, we. It would be amazing and extraordinary if we, the people, all came to this realization and stepped out of the dark and came into the light together and started to do what I call these sacred works of just being compassionate, of just being the vibration and frequency of love and caring, because that's how we were originally meant to be, and that's what held the sacred hoop together. That's what fed the sacred tree of life. See, so we are the ones, not the authorities. We are the ones that can change our experience and create reality in that manner. So I'm not going to spend time hoping or wishing or imagining. I get what you're saying. I don't mean to shoot you down, but it's true. If there was a majority of others or whatever that turned away from the darkness and it basically took off the chains of the authorities that are wrapped around us here for millennia and stepped away from that, what a difference it would make personally and collectively, okay? I mean, this is a power that we do have, but people have to realize this authority over them. They have to say, wait, these people are running my life. They're running my mind and my behaviors, everything I do. They're telling me. They've told me what to do. They've told me how to think. They've told me what to aspire to. They've told me who to dislike and who to like. They've told me what religion does for me. You know, religion, in my estimation, keeps us from our Creator, our Great Spirit. When you have a religion that says to you as a child that you have original sin, you were born with sin, turn around and run the other way. Of course, I couldn't do that when I was a child because I was only 10 when I got the lie. I said, wait, something's wrong here. So I was subjected to authorities telling me, you are a child, you must go to church. This is where you're, what you're doing, period. That's it. So, yes, we have to know ourselves, I think. We have to first know, number one, that we are under the authority's rule in every aspect of our lives, and that it is not our own thought. It is not our own behavior that we are functioning with. It is theirs that they have put upon us. If you have hate, if you have negative thoughts, if you have jealousies and various other things, and you feel, you know, that nothing good is happening for you, that's what you're being told. If you feel, you know, basically that everything is hopeless and I'm helpless and the world is going to whatever, pot or hell, whatever you want to call it, and there's no hope, what are you going to rely on? I talk about your spiritual foundation because that's, you have to build the spiritual foundation strong now, your connectedness to something far greater, because we are in a spiritual battle. We've talked about that so many times. This is a battle between the dark and the light, the good and the bad, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We're in a battle against hatred. We're in a battle against divisiveness. And when you stand in that hate, and when you spew out negativity and divisiveness, you are not shining your light, you are feeding the dark.
Yep.
That's how I look at it.
Well, I just find myself being thankful for all the blessings in the world, everything that good happened for myself or somebody else. And I come to the understanding that I can't carry the burden of the entire world on my back. I just want to try to shine my light and hopefully inspire other people to be able to believe in themselves and each other. That's the best I can do. Stephen Gibbons posted a picture in the chat room, said, your life does not get better by chance, it gets better by change.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Exactly. And so if what we're talking about, you know, well, shining your light and, you know, love and being compassionate and loving and being, you know, aspiring to be a good person and helpful person or loving person, you know, if you have a negative thought about that, you know, who's running that? Who's feeding you that negative thought?
Yeah.
It's like, where's your own power?
There are people out there who would pretty much poo-poo the whole peace and love and kumbaya kind of words of wisdom and stuff and say,
well,
no,
forget
we're just,
the kumbaya.
Yeah, all that stuff where everybody's trying to bring peace and love and harmony to the world, and they're like, no, I'm just tired of this because, you know, you can't get people to agree, so they want to go out and basically force somebody into complying to being nice, you know? That's...
Well, I have a question. I have a question about the... So we talk about prophecy, right?
Yeah.
You know, prophecies unfolding. We see prophecy unfolding left and right. Okay, well, we see good prophecy unfolding too. Not just the prophecies that are, you know, not good or bad, if you want to say seriously disturbing. But we see both prophecies, both types of prophecies unfolding. Now, if you focus on the fear prophecy, the end of the world prophecy, or the hopeless prophecy, or whatever, that's what you're going to create, that's what you're feeding. So we have free will. So you can choose to look at the positive prophecies, the prophecies of the Rainbow Warriors Rising, for instance, of all the people are coming together and are standing rock, standing for the water, to stand in peace, to pray,
yeah,
to be helpful, to be supportive of each other, for the Mother Earth, for the water, and for the coming generations. You can stand with that too. That's your choice. Or you can stand with the other that says doom and gloom, it's the end of the world, and we're all going to die, and no matter what, it doesn't matter, and blah, blah, blah. You can do that too. You are a free person.
Yeah.
You are your own authority, or you should be. But, you know, we have to be careful on that. Like I said, what is running you? Because I'm telling you, we are being run. Our minds are being run and owned and ruled. Our behavior, our words, everything about us, all authority is the system that we are under. And all authorities are playing the same game. They want to control us for their own agenda.
That's it. And the evil people of the world, they don't want you to be nice. That's why they manipulate you.
They need us warring against each other, so anytime they want to call a war, we'll all go and kill somebody.
That's it. That's the whole entire deal, to try to get the good man to do something rotten. Once you get that good man in Congress that is, you got dirt on him and now you got something to hold over his head, you know, a really good man, even if he did do something wrong and had dirt against him, would stand up and say, yeah, I'm guilty as hell, all get out about that, but that's not what we're here to fix, is it? You see what I'm saying? How you doing, Barry?
Good, how you doing, Judith? Good morning, Barbara.
Hey there, Barry. I just want to say one more thing. I'm trying to impress and imprint this realization that everything, every part of our lives that you could imagine is set up, has been set up and is ruled and controlled by the authorities. Those that don't give a crap about us. Those that have an agenda. And those that are looking for the chaos, want the chaos, want the divisiveness, they want us hating each other, they want us to be able to spill blood for them. So I'm trying to get this message out, that we have to wake up to the reality, that if you think that you are your own authority, or your own person, or that your thoughts are your own, or your behaviors are your own, you're wrong. Because the authorities have done this for us. The authorities from millennia, from the beginning of time, has set us up to follow their rule and their control, to think the way they want us to think, to behave the way they want us to think. So this is where I'm focused on today, Barry. Just wanted to clarify that.
Mm. Interesting subject, but you know, really, if you think about it, Barb, if you really wanted to bring a society down, you would divide that society. And over the last 30, 40 years, more so than before that period in time, I've seen a real divisions, small incremental divisions brought into our society, so that we are fighting amongst each other all the time.
Yeah.
We can't address the real enemy because we're too busy dealing with absolutely irrelevant issues when you look at the big picture. But people are so, like you said, Barbara, controlled in the mind. It's unbelievable how much some people are still in the matrix and they just can't see what's going on. But like you said, this has been conditioned into our brain since we were born. Since we could understand anything in the world, we were slowly and surely conditioned to
think
the way that we think.
And our parents and our grandparents also.
They've actually got white people going out telling everybody how terrible white people are. You know, and that's sad.
There should be a tax. There's going to be a tax now on white people for being white.
Yeah, and I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying, look,
I'm not
completely white because, you know, my heritage goes back in multiple different directions as far as all the different, you know, family members involved with getting me here. But nonetheless, you know, I know my heart. And had I been around in any time where there were atrocities going against people because of their religion or because of their color or because of injustice of any kind, I would have probably been one of the ones that would have got in trouble because I would have stood up for somebody who says, how do you know that lady's a witch? You know, maybe you just misunderstood something. Or how do you know that that person's a bad person because what color they are or whatever? I would have been somebody standing up to advocate for doing the right thing, you know, true justice or whatever. So I probably would have been one of the people in history that got hung or shot or whatever. But I would do that today. If there was injustice in the world and I was there, I did a video one time. If you ever want to hear me get mad, go watch this doggone video that I did one time. I said that Shaziz is PO'd. That ain't the word I used. But basically it stemmed from I watched a video and there were adults standing around. And while this one particular adult was stepping on the hand of a child, right there in front of everybody. just tormenting this child, and nobody in the crowd stepped forward to say, no, you don't do that to any child. I don't care what color this child is. I don't care what religious background this child is. You don't do that to any child. Had I would have been there, you would have seen violence come out of crazy old Shaziz, because I couldn't tolerate that. I couldn't stand idly by, and I wouldn't even just be after the attacker himself. I would be after the ones who stood idly by and did and said nothing.
Yep.
I was so angry when I saw this video that I had to do a video telling everybody how mad I was to torment a child like this, because when babies come into this world, they don't know no difference between black or white or yellow or red or anything like that. They don't know no difference between Republican or Democrat or one religion or the other. They come in this world full of love and innocence, and they need us. They need us as the adults, as anyone who's older than them, to help and guide them safely through life and show them the best of the world and teach them how to become a great person. You know, but the things that we see happening to our children these days, the things that they teach them in school, and the ways that they're indoctrinated into seeing differences in one another, the little white kid didn't look at the little black kid differently when they were in the cradle. But whenever they got into school and suddenly there were kids saying things, older kids saying things to younger kids that they're maybe got from their adult parents or maybe from the government or whatever. And now this same little kid that used to be friends with this little black boy, the little white boy that had the little black friend, vice versa, however you want to say it, doesn't matter. It's not about the color. It's about the point. They were best friends. Now they're enemies. Because of a difference in a pigmentation. It's sad. How do we get around that? How do we get back to that true innocence of childhood?
Get your children out of school, for one.
That'd be a plus.
And that's hard to do because our society now is set up such a way that both parents really, given the situation in most homes, both parents have to work to keep the house going. Henceforth, the children's upraising is given to the responsibility of the school, and they're indoctrinated. It's unbelievable, some of the stuff that's going on in our school systems, but parents aren't getting involved. They're not going to school meetings. They're not going to board meetings and addressing these people and calling them out for what it is. I praise a couple groups in Ontario that really got out and stood in front of their council and absolutely put a stop to Islamic prayers being participated in schools. But there's other schools that are promoting that. We're fighting an agenda here. You know, any time in history that you want to destroy a family, you want to destroy a society, you destroy the family. Henceforth, we see all of our attacks seem to be focused on our children through our vaccine programs, through the indoctrination programs in school, what they're being shown on TV, what is right, what is wrong, how they're being indoctrinated through the gaming systems to accept violence, that murder and death is okay. Who cares if that person dies? It's just a person. We have, the human heart has been turned cold.
Yep.
But it's taken many, many years to get us to this point. And, you know, to undo it, we have to look at what has made us the way we are right now and address those issues. And they're multiple. Excuse me, there's multiple. But, you know, these guys sit in think tanks. They sit in think tanks for hours, you know, and come up with all these ways to undermine and destroy the family unit. You destroy the family unit, the society will fall apart.
Yeah, you take father and mother
out of the
equation, and you got a child running amok. And even to this very day, you know, you see people who will divorce. They change mates or you know, significant others, like changing hats. Like there's no sacredness to, you know, when you like stand in front of your creator and you say till death do us part, you know, or whatever. It's like most
of I'm not going to push marriage, and I'm not going to push you know, I believe in relationship, in good relationships, whether you're married or whether you have a partner or not.
What they're doing is they're
doing the children first. They're corrupting the children first, because these are the next generations. So, you know, yes, it is about family, and it is about relationship overall. relationship with each other. Whether you're a single person, whether you choose to have a family or not, what they're doing is they're destroying humanity, starting with the children first. They're corrupting the mind and the spirit of a child. And basically what they're doing is they're introducing, you know, no gender and this sexuality and this this way that is so corrupt against the spirit of a human being. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. This is about the corruption and the harm upon the spirit soul of all of humanity, starting with our children.
Well, on the marriage thing, what I'm trying to say is that to discourage somebody from their traditional values or whatever, you know, that's just it just seems like nobody has any. I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, but we're all family, you see.
Well, I agree.
It's about the human family, not just families, the husband, wife, children thing. I'm talking about, okay, we're all family. We don't have to be, you know, married or whatever or have children. We are all family.
Well, I agree
with
that as well.
And they're destroying that family, that unity of all humanity, of all the children of the earth. That's what they're working to destroy.
The family unit, you know, I'm just saying the mom, the dad, you know, a mom and a dad, they make a choice to bring a child into the world, and even if they can't stay married, somehow or another manage to be able to care for that child and raise them to be a good person. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I know things happen and not everybody's compatible for life. I get that.
Well, it's easy. What they're doing in that aspect is that it's easy to just, you know, delete somebody. You know, you make a vow in that tradition to love and cherish a person till death do you part. You know, well, I don't know if that's realistic, frankly. I really don't. I hear you when you say it's easy now. Let's just get a divorce. It's like there's no working towards, you know, towards something better. It's just that, yeah, I can just easily delete you.
That's
I'm talking about realism here.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I was just trying to talk about. I know that marriage isn't for everybody, but it, like I said, it's just so ridiculously easy to kick your significant other to the curb over something that probably is really insignificant and that you probably could work out. Maybe go get some therapy or, you know, something. At least do everything you can to hold your family together, your personal little family. I know we're
all... if you're not compatible, if you find out that you're not compatible with a person, okay, what's happening today is if you find that out, you find out that, well, the love you profess for that person really wasn't love, it was something else or whatever.
Yeah.
The idea today is to destroy that person. You see, this is the dark part. This is the authorities tell us, well, let's just squeeze that person for every ounce of money that they have and just destroy them because I'm divorcing them now.
Well, not just that. I have a grandchild that I can't see anymore because his mother, and keep in mind, this particular grandchild wasn't my son's blood child, but we were there from the time that he was born till the time that he was about, you know, 6 or so years old, and, you know, he was part of our family. And when my son's relationship and this lady went south, so to speak, suddenly we weren't allowed to see this boy anymore. And, you know, I loved him as if he was my own blood family, you know. He was a wonderful little soul. I mean, he loved his grandpa to pieces, and, you know, suddenly he was ripped from our lives. And I may never in the rest of my life ever get to see him again. I'm hoping that one day he'll find a picture of his grandpa and him together and comes and looks me up. But as the law stands and as the mother says, you know, I'm not welcome in his life, you know. And it wasn't because of anything I did. It was because that my son and her just didn't work out. And that's sad.
That's the authority. You see, that's the authoritarian system. That's all under the rule of those controllers who want to destroy people's lives.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're doing
a good job of it. Not necessarily that woman who determined this, okay? She may have, but she's allowed to do it by the authorities. You see, the authority system is not for the people or bringing the people together and these children who need grandpas, even if they're not blood or whatever. The authorities don't care about that. They just want destruction and chaos in the lives of people.
Yep.
So even though that woman had an idea, well, I'm just going to keep my son away from this so-called grandpa, if the law, if the authorities realize or are for the people and for the goodness for the children, they wouldn't allow that. But the authorities do allow that.
Yeah. Well,
this is what I'm saying. And the people, the determinations and the choices that people make are often from this hatred that they have, that they've been trained to have.
My view
their influences around them.
Yeah.
We should maybe go back in history 60, 70 years and look at the structure of the American family in the 30s and 40s and 20s in America and look at the divorce rates. And then look at the divorce rates today. It's very, very rare today for a marriage to last more than 10 years. But in 1920 and 1930, you couldn't go click on your computer and watch prostitutes doing each other on a film and call it a star and glamorize it in our society. You didn't see our children being sexualized by Disney and corporations into the entertainment industry that we see today. None of that was prevalent in our society. Our societies were built around the family unit, the man being the head of the family. If you look at single families today in America, the single children that are raised by a mother alone, the percentages of these children that get involved in prostitution, drugs, and crime is just staggering, as opposed to a family that has been raised or a family where the man has been the figurehead in that family right from the time that child was born to the time he leaves that house or she leaves that house. It's unbelievable how we see our society being corrupted from a moralistic point of view. And it's everywhere. What was good in 1930 now is bad, and what was bad is glamorized today as being good.
Well,
so
I'm going to say
that's the root core of our
problem. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to say that in a family, the balance of the reciprocity and the harmony and balance between two people, the father and the mother, is key. To me, it's not that the father has the position of the king of the house and he's the ruler of the house and so on and so forth. No, this is about two people in harmony and balance working together for the good of the children. So, again, we have to be careful of how we describe
it. What I was trying to say there is that when I grew up and my father was the kind of, my mom and dad had a great relationship and they talked to each other decently all the time and they were a team, but he's still what we referred to as like, okay, if dad's mad, you better listen, you know, and he kind of kept the family in line. That's all I'm saying. A relationship between two people has to be a mutual give and take relationship between those two people. They have to be on the same page, and they have to be able to work together if the relationship is going to last. Absolutely. You can't have one person going, hey, I am the... when we talk about Islam, where Islam women are treated as half the value of a man, and that they're not allowed to say anything. They have absolutely no rights at all, period. And this is the culture that's being brought into North America.
Well, that is not family. That is not family. That is not balance. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what. My mother, she was a single parent for a long time, and she did the job, and she, boy, I tell you what, I ain't got nothing but good to say about my mother. I feel like I'm probably one of the most blessed people in the world to have such an awesome mother that I got. I love and respect her with everything that I have. She's top of the line for me. And as far as a father, I've had stepfathers. And I've had a father that he wasn't my biological father, but to this very day, I call him my father because he did the job. It's not necessarily that the person that has to be a blood relation. It's the man or the woman who stands up there and does the job. You know, I don't like the term stepfather. I don't like the stepchild thing. If this is your child, this is your child. My daughter is my daughter no matter what.
Well, again, that's authority. As you see, the authorities set that system up. So put that word in there, stepfather, stepchild, whatever. What does that mean?
Well,
it diminishes that
child as, you know, you're not really part of the family. You're just here because you're married to your mom or something like that. And I hate that.
Well, exactly, and that's authority. The authorities set that up, so there would be that divisiveness. So there would be that energy, that frequency that that child would feel, or you would feel. You see, we are parents. We're parents to all children. We're mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunties, sisters, brothers, to all. You see, but that's our way, the traditional way of indigenous people. That's our way. But the other societies don't think that way. See, they talk about blood. Well, that's a blood relationship. Well, they're not. But we are all related. You see, we are all family, one big family. And we do take care of other people's children. We love other people's children in our tradition. We mentor other people's children.
Mm. Yep.
Well, I know anybody sitting here right now saw a child getting harmed, they would jump in and react.
That's right.
That child was their child. I know that if I saw a child in trouble, I would react the same way as if it was my child.
Exactly.
I want to address a comment in the chat room, not necessarily related to what we're doing, but somebody in the chat room is actually looking for some help in electricity stuff. Anon6322, if you're listening in, add me on Skype as a contact if you like, and we can get together and talk about electricity. You know, we got two shows. We got one on Saturday for mad science stuff, and we got one on Sundays that kind of addresses all the issues of the world and finding solutions. So the Knights of the Round Table's the day that you showed up, but I'd still be more than happy to help you with anything you need as far as science and electricity and all that kind of stuff. So if you like, just add me on Skype as a contact, or you know, catch me in the chat room on Mad Science Day, and we'll help you out any way we can. Also, if you scroll up there above this chat room, you'll see a link that says Stephen's resource page. Stephen's compiled a whole bunch of researchers in alternative energy that would help you out and see what you need. So, you know, with that, you know, if you got any questions on that, just type them in the chat room, and we'll do everything we can to help you out. So anyway, back to where we were, and I kind of got lost to where we were, but the whole key about the thing is we started this show off today talking about good things, and it's kind of hard, especially if you try to look for good things on YouTube. You might find a whole lot of negative things on YouTube, but there is good in the world. There are good people in the world. There are people out there who go above and beyond the call of duty and try to be, you know, good caretakers and servants and helpful people, you know. I think the best leaders in the world is the one who basically humbles themselves to be a servant to their community. The best pastors in the churches are the ones who put themselves on the same level, not above the congregation, but on the same level, looking them eye to eye and talking to them as an equal, not as a, you know, I'm better than you kind of thing. I've walked out of many churches that I seen the pastor look like he was all dressed in gold and silver and, you know, living high on the hog while the people in the church congregation were suffering and couldn't have a voice. I would be more apt to, you know, Jesus said that any time two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. So as far as I'm going, saying anywhere you go, you can have your own personal church, your own personal, what's the word I'm looking for, Barry, when all the people get together.
A congregation.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not trying to push my beliefs on anybody. All I'm trying to say out there to everybody is that you got to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, there's not too many people out there going to believe in you either. I believe in you. I know where you came from. You're an amazing creation. You are a wonderful soul and individual. All you got to do is allow that light to shine when you choose to do so. If you want to see the miracle you've been waiting for, go look in the mirror. That picture that Stephen put up there earlier with the phrase on there, I missed it. I'm going to see if I can find it again. I want to read that phrase out one more time because it's so true. It's amazing.
Well, I just want to say that it makes logic sense to me that if you want to achieve something, okay, whether it's peace or unity or harmony or love or whatever it is, it has to start with you. It all has to begin with us. You see, this is the power that we have.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't need to be on a soapbox. You don't need to write a book. You don't need to be on Oprah Winfrey. You don't need any of that stuff. Wherever you are, you let your light shine and you emanate that frequency of love and compassion for all and gratitude.
Yep.
And if it's sincere, Barbara, people will react to it.
That's right.
Exactly. You are affecting the whole.
That's right.
So I've said it lots of times. You know, just go every day and say hi to everybody you see.
Yeah, and smile.
And say sincere.
Good morning, or hello, or whatever.
I get conversations started all the time now with total strangers just because how you doing? How's your day going? And then, you know, all of a sudden you're into a conversation. And, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about people waking up, Barbara, and she says, boy, am I ever starting to see it, even in my community now where people are really, I'm getting involved in some really good conversations, and people are actually asking me, how can we get involved? What do we do? Because they, you know, people feel powerless and they're in fear. Our government is a situation now where people are actually totally in fear of the government. And we got to turn that around, and people are really starting to realize that we're in for a struggle here. And I see an incredible awakening in my little community here. So we'll just keep putting the pedal to the metal.
Yeah,
that, shine a light.
That picture that I was trying to remember the phrase to that Stephen posted in there said, your life does not get better by chance, it gets better by change. And that there's a whole lot to that. I mean, seriously.
Well, I think people should be concerned. I don't know. I think that fear sort of stops us in our tracks and is very overwhelming. But they want us to be in fear. That's part of their plan.
Their biggest weapon, Barbara.
That's right.
Of course.
Exactly.
Well, so,
it's good that people are saying, "What can we do?" I mean, rather than we can't do nothing.
There's a deal.
Well, yes. People are looking for answers right now. I'm seeing an incredible awakening in my little community here, so it's good.
There's a deal in some of the horror movies / sci-fi or whatever. There's one thing that says the vampire can't enter your house unless you invite them. You know?
Exactly.
There's a lot to that.
Well, and we are the house.
Yeah.
You see, we are each a vessel. And we have a power. Our light is the power. Our thoughts are the power. You know, again, it's the same thing. You call it a house. It doesn't mean the physical house that you're living under. It means yourself.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. The darkness can't enter your soul unless you allow it in, you know? Because I'll tell you what, that love and that light is a whole lot more powerful. You know, if you can turn one little tiny candle on in the cave and suddenly it ain't dark in there anymore, that ought to tell you something.
Well, I'm going to say that the soul is the light. Soul spirit is the light forever, ever, ever. And it is the mind that they enter into that controls us. And this is where we have to be careful. We are trained and brainwashed and told how to act and behave by the authorities in our system. The soul, the light within you, remains. It can be covered up and hidden and deeply hidden from and overwhelmed by all this stuff. It will always be the light, and this is where we have to find that light within us. It is ever present, but we are trained and brainwashed to disbelieve it or believe in the authority. So the light is there. It is ever present. The wisdom is within us, you see. But we have been trained to doubt ourselves. We've been trained to believe in the authorities instead of our own inner wisdom.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, getting back to the whole good things, when you look out there and you see that some of the creations that people have actually accomplished, some of the sculptures, drawings, paintings, and even buildings or machinery that people have actually, with their hands and the tools and the materials available, was able to accomplish. It's amazing. It is mind-blowing. You know, when you look at the Earth itself, to me, I'm blown away on a daily basis because it's like I'm a kid in a candy store kind of thing. Every time I see something, and I know I've seen it before, but now that my mind thinks differently, I look at this like the most complex, amazing miracle of creation, that it just blows my doors off. You know, but I see that there are people out there, every single person out there has some sort of talent. Like I said, I heard some lady singing yesterday. She was kind of ashamed to sing, you know, thinking somebody going to think, you know, she's not good or whatever. And I told her, I said, never stop singing. And, you know, if you can sing like an angel, this would be a good time in history to start singing like an angel. You know, if you can cook the best meal in the world, go out and find somebody and do that. Cook the best meal that they ever had, you know. Inspire somebody with that talent, that gift that you've got. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, I got to say that I'm going to have to leave a little early, which I always regret. But I love being here with you, and I love the opportunity to share and to put our heads together, you know. And I just want to say that I have great faith in all of us, in humanity, you know, and I know that the light is more powerful than the dark, and so that's the strength that I carry, and that's the belief that I have. And so I'm going to sign off now and thank everybody for being here today, everyone listening and participating, and I just send in love and blessings to you all.
Do you think Barry and I can hold our own without you? We might run amok.
I'm sure we can handle 20 minutes there, Shiviz.
All right. It's going to be rough, but we love you, Barbara.
I think you can handle it. I have great faith in humanity, as I said.
All right. Well,
I love you guys.
Have a wonderful day.
We'll see you soon, and tomorrow, Patty and Patty Walking Turtle and I will be on with the Crow and Turtle show. Yeah. So we'll see you
make
then.
Make sure you throw some links in there for everybody so they can get over there to hear that show, because I'm sure that's going to be a good one.
On People for People. Love you guys. People.
Folks, there's
see
a
you,
radio
have
link.
Have a good day. Love you,
Down in the Super Chat room over there on Shaziz Radio, there's a banner ad down there that says People for People Radio. Click on that link and it'll take you right there to them so you can listen to that show. So with that said, Barry, you know, in our book of faith, Jesus talked about a lot of things, man. He said a lot of things. He said we had the power to do a lot of things. He said that faith could go a long way. And I think...
Well, you know, he also said in this particular time in history that all would be revealed.
Yep.
That our knowledge base would expand like crazy. And all the dark would be exposed to us. And boy, I'll tell you, we're seeing some pretty interesting develops right now. Developments in the States. Shaziz, we know that something big is going to happen. They cannot put the lid back on this genie or back in this bottle. That the genie's out of the bottle now.
Yep.
And what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think, is going to really fundamentally affect us all. I really honestly believe that we're going to see a crescendo of events. I mean, you know, there's so much evidence now out against Hillary Clinton and the whole cabal.
Yep.
That, like I said, they can't put this back in the bottle. It's how it's going to be handled by society and the powers to be here in the next 3 weeks will really kind of speak volumes of exactly what's going on in our world. Because these people are going to go to jail one way or the other. The American public, I do not believe, will accept any other result at this particular point, because the information's out there. It is so corrupt. The whole system is so corrupt. And now the evidence is out there. It's undeniable. So how that's going to play out, the big question right now in my mind.
We're definitely living in some interesting times, brother.
We're seeing a crescendo of events.
Yep.
That really are pointing to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth.
But you know, even...
And he said it, he said it to us many times, that when you start seeing all these events correlated in a very, very short period of time, and we could talk about multiple things that are pointing to this particular time in history. That to me, you know, reading Revelations right now, Shaziz, is like reading a newspaper.
Yeah.
It really is. If I want to know what's going to happen in the next 10, 15 years in human history, I really only have to read the Bible.
But
I study it, and I know what's coming.
But on the other side of that journey is a good thing, you know.
Yeah, there is. There's going to be good times come to this earth in the future, and he says that repeatedly. But We're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through years of bad times on this earth before things get better.
Well, I think
so. Johnny Cash said, man, it's, you know, if things are going to get better, but it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. There's a there's actually a website out there, Good and Evil Brainy Quotes, and I'm reading one that sort of sounds like what I said earlier. Said, inside each of us there is a seed of both good and evil. It's a constant struggle as to which one will win, and one cannot exist without the other. Two Dog told the story.
I got some good news for you. Is this, on March the 1st, there will be a storefront facility actually displaying hemp-based building products in Terrace.
Cool.
So I've been working on this for close to a year now. I've got a businessman in town that's putting up the money because I don't have it, but he's looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and he says the same thing to me that I've been saying to everybody, that this is absolutely a no-brainer, and it is the wave of the future, and he is excited about having an opportunity to expose this to the public.
That's a good thing.
That's a really cool thing.
Two Dog said told a story about a couple wolves inside fighting, and the little child asked the grandpa which one was going to win, and the grandpa said, whichever one you feed. And that's what I feel like. Boy, I tell you what, it's just amazing some of the words of wisdom that people, you know, they have out there. It's just...
Yeah, well, we are in interesting times for this. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, we talk about political events, we talk about financial events, we talk about geological events. I'm really kind of paying attention to Cascadia right now, because we've had a series of earthquakes off the west coast here that, you know, borderline that subduction zone.
Well, I saw something today.
I'm watching now. Could make some good YouTube videos, but a lot of people are going to die.
I saw something. I saw something today about you know, things, amazing things found under the ocean, and you'd be surprised at how many cities were actually found under the ocean. How many different civilizations and artifacts were found under the ocean? So, history, you know, I tell you what, my people might want to read a little closer into that book, biblical flood stories or whatever. You know, history says nothing in this world's permanent, as far as you know. It's, I had this crazy feeling one time. I was out there standing next to an old barn after working really hard on that old barn, and I got to thinking about how hard that people will work all the way through their lives to build these nice homes and take care of the land, and you know, try to build you know, a family and stuff to share like that. And then it dawned on me, and it made me like real sad that, you know, no matter how hard you work in life, on what you do in life, things, when you're gone, if you're not using it, nature will take it back. And so all that hard work and labor that you do temporary to make a change in this world, but I don't want that to discourage people, because those times that you did all that hard work and the family that got to actually share in that beautiful property or whatever that you provided for them, that's the true gold. You see what I'm trying to say here, Barry?
Yep. Everything else is really immaterial.
Yeah.
It really is.
We can't.
It's all material, and material wealth is nothing. But it's how we're conditioned right from the child, from the time we're born, that, you know, we gotta have this, we gotta have that. You gotta keep up with the Joneses. Gotta have a new house. Gotta have a new car.
That's right.
Gotta send your kid to college. Gotta pay taxes.
We can't take
it's
our,
all an illusion.
We can't take our material possessions, our gold and silver, with us. Matter of fact, when we came in this world, we had no pockets. And when we leave this world, we're not going to have any pockets. You know?
Yep, there's no line between the rich and the poor when you stand in front of those pearly gates.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So,
and, you know, I'll tell you something. All these rich people in the world could wake up tomorrow being on the same playing field as you and me, Shazis.
Yeah, it may very well
you
be.
Know?
But you know what, Barry? If I find them, I'm going to love them too. I'm going to help them. I'm going to feed them. That's
it. Okay, I didn't say don't love them, but, you know... But economically right now, the world's in pretty crazy situations, and you know, we talk about all these things that seem to be coming to a crescendo, and financial is one of the things.
Well, a lot of it they brought upon themselves. you know, with the different demons.
It's set up to collapse. Yeah. The whole financial system has been set up for years to collapse. It's just a matter of when they say go to this, because they control the money. So when they want to collapse the economies of the world, they can do it literally in 24 hours. You can see all economies in the world just collapse. Because we're living on a bubble right now. It's not real. Yeah. It's all fabricated fiat currency. And like I said, they control the money. And when you control the money, you control the population. And if they collapse the dollar, boy, I'll tell you, there's a scenario we could talk about for a few minutes. But
sure,
yeah,
but the true
they could be thrown into chaos. And millionaires could become poor people, literally, overnight.
The true bit of peace and freedom can't be bought, man. It can't be.
But it can. So that's why, you know, people ask me why I got nothing. I don't have any material possessions anymore. A few little things. I don't want material possessions. It means nothing to me. Absolutely means nothing. It's like, why do I need that? Why do I need that? I don't. I'm quite happy the way I am. I live a very simple life. My book tells me to be humble and live a simple life, and I believe in that. I don't have any desires for material possessions. The only thing I've done that I thought was smart in the last couple of years is I've invested what I had in a little bit of assets into silver and gold and food.
Yeah.
Because I can't eat a new car, and I can't eat that big screen TV, and I can't eat that new house. But if I have no food, boy, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Well, so, we're got
so right. I kind of look at things a little differently.
We got some interesting times ahead of us, that's for a fact. But dude, I tell you, even though these are interesting and scary times, I still believe there's good out there, and I still believe that if we look hard enough, we can find miracles.
I believe that too, Jesus. We're going to see a miracle right now on this planet of people turning away from the devil, because he's running rampant on this planet right now.
Well, that's
unbelievable.
That's blatantly obvious. That's blatantly obvious, and that artificial intelligence out there on YouTube might be a rotten individual too, because I typed in the words good things in the world today, and I came up with all kinds of rotten things. Yeah.
Right, but legalized pedophilia. Isn't that great?
And I even typed in, there is good in the world, and once again, you know, I found a couple things in there about, you know, amazing people and heroes and people doing things good for each other, but for the most part, it was either a dirty video or rotten things again. So don't ask the artificial intelligence out there, is the world good or good about good things. Somebody kind of twisted or skewed the version of the difference between good and evil, and now evil's good, and you know, it's kind of like when you say to everybody, can't we all just get along, and they're like, no, it ain't fun, you know?
Artificial intelligence, there's something I can't even begin to wrap my mind around, which is this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a simple mind, but I'll tell you, the implications and some of the things that I've read, I'm trying to digest it all. I'm going like, wow, where are we going, man?
And the thing is,
let's go back. Can we go back to rotary phones, please?
Yeah, the thing is,
we picked up off the wall and stuck in our ear.
I saw a video this morning where they was talking about how artificial intelligence is getting smarter and smarter by the day, and so it might come to a point where artificial intelligence might look at us as a pest and get rid of us.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I tell you, some of the movies they put out in the last 15 years, we used to laugh at, you know, like iRobot and Zombie Apocalypse, but we look at those movies and they're all being played out in society now. We are virtually, or literally, a zombie apocalypse. People are just in a state of, I don't know how to describe it, dumb.
I get it. Dumb. Well, folks.
Today, that's true, though, Shazaz. It really is. I have conversations with people about simple things, and they're stuck for an answer. And I'm going like, how can you not have an answer to that simple question?
It's that time again, Barry.
The real society.
It's that time again. Coming to the close of the Knights of the Round Table. Folks, don't be discouraged by the negativity in the world. There are good people in this world. There are good things in this world. It's just hard to, you got to weed through it. It's almost like an Easter egg hunt, so to speak, or a treasure hunt. Go out there and find those treasures, and when you do, share that story with somebody to uplift their spirit, because don't think that negativity don't like you to spread negativity, because negativity, that's what it strives for, is you to share that negative message with somebody else and make them feel just as bad as you do now. Put some positive out. Do like Barry said. Go out and have conversations with total strangers and smile and tell them to have a good day. See, that's a plus there in my book. Barry, I'd like to hang out with you because I think you'd be cool to hang out with. Anyway,
it's a simple thing. It really is. It is.
Yeah.
And it comes from mother.
With that said, you got any last words of wisdom before we roll up out of here?
The only thing I would say to people is that, I've said it before, that I believe that we're going to see some pretty chaotic times coming up in the future, and the most important thing that I believe a person can have in their life right now is a spiritual connection, because things are going to get chaotic, and your mind is going to be subjected to chaos, and we must keep our feet on the ground. You must have a spiritual backing. When these events start to unfold, you must have something to fall back on, or you can fall into their trap, period.
Well, the only thing I can say is I think it's already chaotic, because at least in my eyes, all the things I'm seeing don't make any doggone sense when it comes down to common sense and humanity. So if they're this bad now, and there's the potential of them getting much, much worse, I'd say y'all need to be prepared for anything. But most of all, get close with your neighbors and your friends, and build allies while there's ally time to be made, you know, or something. You know, put some things, extra things on your shelf for just such an emergency that this corrupt system falls on its face and people don't take it so well. That's all I can think about. But either way.
Always fun joining you, Shadows.
Oh, it's always amazing when you're around, brother. It's just like, you know, we know we got to go down the dark road sometime to try to get a point across to share the things that are happening in the world that people need to be aware of. But we always seem to find some solutions to put out there as well. And one of your best solutions that I like is what you said earlier about going out there and getting conversations started and watching the lights turn on in people's eyes that, hey, I never thought about that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
It works, my friend.
It's amazing what you can do with love in your heart, folks. That's what tonight.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food.
It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terror and the Knights of the Round Table.